Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app.
Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get 6-ounce packs of juicy raspberries or blackberries for $1.88 each with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in details.
Hey everybody, I'm Zach.
And I'm Jesse.
You're watching Test of Time News.
Episode 436.
On Now You Know.
Thanks to Ground News for sponsoring this episode.
So topics like Elon Musk, Tesla, and autonomous vehicles can find themselves at the center of debates.
Depending on where you get your news, Elon's efforts to revolutionize transportation can be framed as visionary or reckless.
With Elon's appointment to Doge, headlines will only become more polarizing and sensational.
In our search for tools that can help us dig deeper into stories we cover here on Now You Know, we partnered with a platform that completely streamlined our research, Ground News.
Founded by a former NASA engineer, their app and website uses a data-driven approach to news analysis by taking every perspective covering a story and breaking down each source's political bias, credibility, and any financial interests behind the headline.
This ensures access to diverse and maybe even opposing viewpoints so you can understand the stories shaping our world much better.
Ground News is how we found the full coverage on Trump's transition team wanting to scrap NHTSA's crash reporting that potentially affects Tesla.
With one click, we get a summary of this report based on sources Ground News found reporting on it.
And with just a quick look, we can see that hardly any conservative news outlets are covering the story, a striking reminder of why it's so important to diversify where we get our news.
One of the features we love most about Ground News is how easy it is to identify the reliability of information at a glance. Their factuality ratings let you see which sources are highly factual, the gold standard of journalism, and which ones lean more towards sensationalism.
It's simple to analyze how the different framings of the same story can influence a reader's perception of an issue. If you're here watching Now You Know, you're already someone who loves digging deeper into stories about Elon Musk, Tesla, and the latest breakthroughs in technology.
That's why we think you'll love Ground News. It's the perfect way to track important developments and even see what you might be missing.
And for a limited time, you can get the same plan that we use every day for nearly half the price.
Just go to ground.news/NYK or scan this QR code to save 40% on their unlimited access Vantage plan.
Or you can gift it to someone you know and have more informed discussions on your favorite topics.
Ground News helps us stay curious, think critically, and see the bigger picture, and we think you'll find them just as valuable.
Thanks again to Ground News for sponsoring this episode. All right, so we've been wondering the last few episodes when the refresh Model Y would launch, and our patrons got it right.
43% said Q1, and it's now Q1, and Tesla has launched Project Juniper, the refresh Model Y launch series in China and Australia.
So to be clear, Chinese customers and Australians and I think Taiwanese and Hong Kongians can order the Launch Series Edition now, but Tesla says the expected deliveries will begin in March pending regulatory approval.
All right, so let's get into what we know so far about the new features and changes. First up, you can't miss it. It's the new front fascia with the light bar. This includes a new air duct and new headlights and separate front fog lights.
I mean, this really does bring in the cyber cab look to the Model Y and makes it a really new look.
Yeah, it's different.
I like the front end.
I'm
not a huge fan yet of the rear end. We'll talk about that in a second. But this front end fascia does drop the drag coefficient from 0.23 to 0.22. And I know for a lot of you, like, who cares? Well, that is a 4.35% more efficient car overall. And here's the math to prove it.
I think they're talking about us.
Now, there's also a new premium color, at least for the Chinese market, Glacier Blue, for an additional 8,000 won or about $1,000.
I really like this color. I really hope they bring it to more markets. I hope it's not just like a Chinese thing. By the way, that gets rid of the darker blue.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. There's new front bumper camera there in the middle with self-cleaning function, kind of like the Cybertruck has. Hard to see, but it's there below the front fascia.
Tesla says provides a wider field of view for automatic assisted driving and advanced smart summon.
Now, I do want to point out early Model 3 Highland images had a front camera also, but it didn't end up in the production model. So we'll have to see if the Model Y actually gets this or not.
The new Model Y gets new 19-inch interactive storm or crossflow wheels, which are included.
Yep. So that's in the Chinese market. It's a little bit different in each market. So in Australia, there's only the 19-inch wheels.
Wheel.
That's a
wheel. Interesting.
Or in Chinese market, there's the 20-inch Spiral Storm or Helix 2.0 wheels for an additional 8,000 won or about $1,000. You'll lose about 34 kilometers of range on a full charge with these larger wheels.
And my guess is that in the United States, we're going to have a different name for those wheels, even if they look exactly the same.
Or they might look different.
There's a good chance that they might. Now, something you can't see is that Tesla now added a water outlet in the frunk. So you can drain water if you've loaded up the frunk with, say, ice for a tailgate party or from messy snow boots or fishing gear.
I think that's really smart. Cybertruck has that.
Absolutely.
The rear end has a new look, too. There's the newly designed rear diffuser. And along with this is a new taillight group and integrated cross-car lamp. So this is 1.6 meters wide. It's one of the longest in the industry. And the taillight goes across the rear below the diffuser there. So it's the world's first indirect reflective body panel taillight.
And so this is very similar to the Cybercab design.
Yes.
When they were showing off the Cybercab, it was, I don't think a lot of people really caught it. It's not a light that you're seeing. It's a light shining down onto a surface. And so that's a little different.
So it's a reflected light or a diffused light.
I think that the effect is only really going to be noticeable in person.
And we've seen a lot of footage of these on the streets, like covered up and camouflaged, but we haven't really seen this in person at night. I think that might be kind of stunning, but we'll have to find out. Tesla's also optimized the sound insulation seal. I know that sounds boring. That's around the trunk, but that should make the whole vehicle really quieter.
Moving to the back seats, there is now a seat electric adjustment because the rear seats are now power reclining and power raise and lowering.
That's interesting. I wonder if they did this because if you're going to have one of these as a robo-taxi, then you need to have the passenger be able to adjust their own seats.
Right. I mean, if I call a Model Y to help me carry like IKEA furniture home with me and then I don't put the seats back up and then it goes to the next passenger, you'd like it if it could automatically raise the seats back up and you don't have to go like, oh, somebody left all the seats down.
Well, right. So just want to point out there's an electric seat button now. And so it's motorized. No longer do you have to manually put it down and manually pull it up. Mm-hmm. You just push the button and it'll go back up. That's pretty cool.
That is really cool.
The rear seat cushions are lengthened by 1.5 centimeters, so a little bit more holding your legs up.
Interesting.
And the headrests are widened by 1.7 centimeters.
And now there is a hands-free opening tailgate.
I thought this was a new function already on Model Y as you walk up to the car. Oh, I guess you have to stand there, whereas I guess this is an approach.
Oh, interesting.
And I think that's because they improved the chipset so they can actually read your phone better.
But then how do you tell it that you want the tailgate to go up? It's not very common that
it's
you
true.
Want to do it.
I don't know. We're going to have to find out. All Something right. to do with the app. I don't know. They've also added 100 liters of extra cargo space.
Now, if you're like, liters, I'm an American. That's about 4 to 5 grocery bags worth of space.
And you know how they did this, I think? The car is actually an inch longer.
Interesting.
Most people haven't mentioned that, but it is 1 inch longer. And you might be like, 1 inch, who cares? Well, it's 3 inches smaller than a Model X. And you might be like, I thought the Model X was huge. Right. An inch in a car makes a big difference.
It does make a big difference. And also, I mean, a lot of that space could not necessarily be like floor space. You're thinking like, oh, I could fit more bags. You might be able to fit more bags on top of stuff, which can usually help if you're like traveling or if you're camping.
There's a Bluetooth-enabled rear 8-inch touchscreen, just like in the Cybertruck and the Model S and the Model X, for watching Netflix, YouTube, and controlling the air conditioning and all that other fun stuff.
And that would also be important if this car was being used as a robo-taxi.
Very good point. Now let's move inside the cabin of the refresh Model Y, like up in the front here, and you'll hear that the sound system for the standard range Model Y now has 9 speakers versus 7. Still no subwoofer on this variant.
In the long range, the Model Y now has 16 speakers and a subwoofer, up from 13 speakers in the old version. And basically, we're getting new mid-range door speakers.
Interesting. I mean, it already had a great sound system. You get customizable steering wheel buttons. Now, you do get that on the old Model Y, but I think there's even more customizability with the buttons.
There's a new 15.4-inch touchscreen.
Oh, Bigger. Nice.
Just by a little.
Now, they got rid of one of the stocks. So there's a new signal indicator stock on the left. So new meaning there always was one, but this is newly redesigned. But they removed the drive stock on the right. So the Prindle is now on the touchscreen, kind of like the Cybertruck. You get auto gear select. So it's supposed to know, oh, I'm driving out of my driveway, so I'm going into drive. That's the same as on Cybertruck and Model S and X.
There is now the multicolor surround atmosphere LED light strip. So kind of all around the front. That was brought in with the Highland Model 3. So now the Model Y basically has it.
Nice. You get ventilated front seats now, and you get heated front and rear seats, which you always had heated front and rear seats.
Right, but you get the ventilated front seats, which is nice.
So cool.
Yeah, a lot of people have been reporting that the rear heated seats was new. It's not new.
Right. Model Y has had that for a while. They're using silver-coated glass that reflects 7 times more solar heat for quicker and more efficient cooling, and it's acoustic insulated glass for less road noise.
There is a new armrest box design, although I didn't look that different from the pictures, but it's different. Also, there's technical textile material decorative panels, so the interior is a little bit different than the old Model Y.
There's updated suspension, which Tesla says offers smoother handling, added comfort, more responsive steering, and a quieter ride.
And so that's 22% reduction in road noise, 20% reduction in wind noise, and impact noise, according to Tesla.
Impact noise. So when you get into a car accident, it's nice and quiet. I don't think that's what it means. But there's also a lot of talk about whether the refresh Model Y is being built differently in terms of gigacastings.
Yeah, a lot of, I don't know if it's misinformation or it's correct or wrong, but what we know is that the existing Model Y has a rear gigacasting that eliminated 70 parts down to one. What we're hearing is that the refresh Model Y has redesigned body castings. We're not sure yet what savings Tesla's getting from that or what improvement this offers. I even heard some people talking about that it's 1 gigacasting for the whole body. I have no proof of that yet.
I don't think that it would be, just based on the fact that the gigacasting machines that we've seen at Tesla's factories don't seem capable of producing an entire car. And we would have seen deliveries of even bigger casting machines, and we probably would have heard about it.
Well, and they have to do this fast. They can't install new giga machines and also get this out fast.
The Model Y Launch Edition Long Range All-Wheel Drive also comes with acceleration boost included. Normally, that's something that you could buy as an in-app purchase after you bought the car.
Now, sadly, the hitch option seems to have been removed. We're not sure of that, but it's not on their website. But we are hoping that the American and the European versions at least do have this option, because I think without it, you're really missing a lot of functionality.
Definitely. Tesla has improved the connectivity of the refresh Model Y. This improves the range for the phone key, clearer calls, faster cellular, and Wi-Fi connectivity.
So it probably is a chipset upgrade, and that would be in the infotainment module, according to Not a Tesla app. Also, newer version of Bluetooth and support for 5G, and this is probably why they can do that opening of the tailgate as you approach the car, because the distance is further.
Hmm.
And in the acceleration department, the new Juniper Model Y gets improved specs.
Interesting. So the new all-wheel drive Juniper accelerates faster 0 to 60 in 4.3 seconds versus 5, and the range has been increased by 32 miles or 50 kilometers.
Well, not so fast. Those Juniper range numbers are WLTP, because that's the market that Tesla is launching into. China, Australia uses WLTP. So the 2024 Model Y range numbers are the more accurate EPA estimates.
Okay, so the rear-wheel drive Juniper, although quicker at 5.9 seconds 0 to 60 versus 7.9 seconds, may not have the range reduction of 37 miles, 59 kilometers?
I hope not. We'll have to wait and see once it hits the streets. And we can actually test it, because, again, we're comparing apples and oranges here. We have EPA versus WLTP, so we got to take that all with a grain of salt.
And it looks like the refresh might also charge faster. Again, we'll have to wait and see.
So this is the launch edition we're talking about here, and that's why the price is more expensive. It's about $5,000 more, but you do get special rear liftgate badging. Look at that cute little badge there. Puddle light badge. A door sill plate word mark, along with the charging console watermark and the vegan suede for the black interior, is all because it's the launch edition.
Hmm. What is that, velvet?
Only 5 seats, though. I thought we had heard that this was going to be a 6-seat option.
No sign of that yet, but maybe it's coming. Maybe to get it out quick, they had to just go with something simple. My guess is that there will be a 6 and 7 seat option eventually. Now, unlike when Tesla refreshed the Model 3 back in August of 2023, which just impacted their Fremont factory and their Giga Shanghai factory lines, the refresh Model Y impacts 4 of Tesla's factory lines because they make them all there, right? Fremont, Shanghai, Texas, and Berlin all make the Model Y. So it's twice the work to update the lines.
What Tesla claimed when they released the Highland Model 3 refresh was that there were 50% components that changed to improve ease of manufacturing, and that meant that it should cost less to produce the Model Y refresh, which means more profit for Tesla and even allows them to reduce the price to customers.
And as we've said before, if you can lower the price of a car by $5,000, you double the number of people who can afford it. So speaking of price, the price in China is about 5% higher than before, but that might just be because it's the launch edition, which is what I think it is. Now, if we go back to the front design, the light bar across the front is, of course, very similar to the Cybercab's front light bar design. And many are asking, where are the turn signal lights are? I think they're right here in the corner of what looks like the light bar.
I don't know. I think they might be in the actual headlight. So much like the Cybertruck, which has the real headlights kind of below the light bar, so does the Model Y. And I think that's where the blinker is. But
interesting.
We'll have to see.
Yeah. Tesla also claims that the panel gaps are now even tighter, which might point to single gigacastings. I think that's where people got the idea, but it might also just be better manufacturing.
As we said before, the body is about an inch longer.
Tesla moved the blind spot warning lights from the A pillars to the side view mirrors.
Okay, so a lot more similar to most cars on the road today right. That have that feature.
Right, because you're usually not looking at that little speaker grill.
You're looking at the mirror.
The
frunk is now larger and the hood is also powered.
Oh, that points to Robotaxi again.
So that way you're going to get out of the car, and if it knows you have something in there, they would open it.
And then close it when you're gone.
And then close it when
because
you're gone.
Because if it's a Robotaxi and you forget to close it, the car would be stuck. Of course, there's the AI4 computer.
The standard range battery is 62.5 kilowatt hours, and the long range all-wheel drive battery is 78.4 kilowatt hours.
And again, this might change when it comes to other markets. So my guess is that eventually there'll be the 6 or 7 seater option and a performance version, although we haven't seen that yet.
Now, does it have V2L or vehicle to load?
Oh, like Cybertruck? There's been no mention of it, so I kind of doubt it, although a lot of people want it. And the Model Y refresh doesn't appear to have any steer-by-wire or 800-volt architecture or 48-volt architecture. Again, it's a refresh, not a completely new vehicle. So a lot of people are like, it doesn't have all this stuff. And it's like, well, it's just supposed to be a slightly better, you know, like the new year model version.
Right. I mean, not that Tesla does new year model versions, but upgrading to an 800 volt architecture or even the 48 volts, low voltage system, that would be a huge change.
Right. And a lot of people said, like, it doesn't have 800 volt charging. It's so dumb. Well, the competition has it. I'm like, well, really expensive competitors might have it,
not the competition. Sorry, Tesla doesn't have competition. What competition? Like, literally, please tell me, who is competing with Tesla that sells as many vehicles as Tesla or is even in the same ballpark?
But right, a lot of these people say this who don't really know what they're talking about. It charges faster than any other vehicle in its price range, and so why would it need 800 volt architecture? That introduces a lot of new problems, which if you don't need it, don't solve it.
And they didn't need to because it was already the best-selling car in the world. Now, we asked our patrons what their favorite new Model Y feature or improvement is.
And the results are in.
Number one.
This surprised me.
Front bumper camera.
I was really surprised. I had to read it a couple times. I'm like, did they mean the front fascia? No, that's number two. Front bumper camera. Okay, I get why. Cybertruck has it. It does help a lot when you're doing like pulling into parking spaces. And Tesla said this is to make parking assist work better, which I got to say, on the existing old Model Y, it doesn't seem to know how to park very well.
It's okay at parking.
Will this help though?
I mean, it's definitely going to help when you have to pull out onto a busy street because you won't have to pull out quite so far in order to see around the corner.
This is luxury.
But I don't know. We're going to have to.
But then why didn't the Model 3 refresh get it?
I don't know.
Interesting. What's number 3, 4, and 5?
Increased range was number 3. Quieter cabin was number 4. And the ventilated seats was number 5.
I'm really surprised. I would have thought powered seats in the back and the 8-inch screen in the back would have been like high on the list.
I think that most people who buy the car
don't let anyone in it.
Well, don't sit in the back seat. and honestly, who cares?
That's true.
But when this thing's a robo-taxi and you're going to fill it in with your friends, or you're going to decide like, hey, let's sit in the back seat today, because that's something you'll be able to do with a robo-taxi, you're going to want a screen in the back.
Yeah. All right, so during Elon's recent interview at CES with Mark Penn, so that's Stagwell's CEO, Elon said this about Optimus, Tesla's humanoid autonomous robot.
So do you think 5 years for my first robot? Or
unless somebody's got something secret we don't know about, our Optimus robot is the most sophisticated humanoid robot in the world. It's got a hand that has 22 degrees of freedom. It looks and feels like a human hand. You know, we're aiming to have several thousand of those built this year. Initially, we'll test them out at Tesla factories, but then assuming things go well, we 10x that output next year. So we'll aim to do 50 to 100,000 humanoid robots next year, and then 10x it again the following year. It's like 500,000 robots in 3 years.
Okay, so let's recap what Elon just said, right? 5,000 to 10,000 Optimus robots built this year that'll be working and being tested in Tesla factories. Then next year, 2026, 50,000 to 100,000 Optimus robots. And then in 2027, 500,000 Optimus robots. And Elon said he expects there could be a global ratio of 5 robots for every 1 human. So that could be 20 to 30 billion robots.
Most people, if not everyone, would like to have their own personal C-3PO R2-D2. And I actually think humanoid robots will be the biggest product ever in history by far.
Okay, and what do these numbers mean in terms of Tesla's revenue, profit, and most importantly, the stock price?
Well, one way to think about it is, think of Optimus as another model of Tesla vehicle. It's as if Elon just said that Tesla was making a new car model that will be coming out in a couple of years. I mean, Tesla already makes computers on wheels, robot cars. Optimus will be a computer on robot legs. And just like how when Tesla first started making cars, the original Roadster and then the Model S and the X, they were really expensive to make. These first batches of Optimus will be more expensive, but the price will come down quickly because, one, Tesla knows how to manufacture better than they ever have before. Two, Tesla is now vertically integrated more than they have ever been before.
Yes, that's right.
Three, many of the parts for Optimus are similar to what Tesla puts in their cars today. The autonomous computer, the batteries, the motors, the sensors. Four, these Optimus robots will be made on an assembly line at the gigafactories, and those lines will actually take up less real estate in the factories and use way less materials because Optimus itself is 97.2% less materials than a Model Y.
Wait a minute. Optimus is going to have just 2.8% of the materials as a Model Y? How do you know that?
Well, simple. Weight.
Weight for what?
No, I mean, you take the weight of the Model Y, which is 4,416 pounds, and the reported weight of the Optimus, which Tesla says will be 125 pounds, and then just do a little math.
So if a Model Y is priced at $45,000 and an Optimus has 97% less materials...
Well, I'm sure it's not a linear ratio, but in terms of the material costs, it could be as low as $1,300 to make an Optimus.
I mean, it won't.
Correct. Elon has said that Optimus could cost as low for us to buy as $20,000 to $30,000 when Tesla reaches full production.
Okay, but going back to my original question about how Optimus will impact Tesla's revenue and profit in the next few years.
I generated a nice little chart of sales, revenue, profit, and all that from hardware and software for the next few years. Check this out. Now, we obviously had to make some big assumptions if we want to know about projected revenue and profit, but here goes.
Wow, it's a lot of zeros. What are we looking at?
All right, so I followed Elon's production predictions for the year of several thousand. So he said this year we'll make several thousand, but I assumed that Tesla wouldn't sell any of those.
Okay.
Elon did make it clear that those would live in Tesla factories being used for work and testing. So I figured no one's going to buy those. But then Elon said 50 to 100,000 in 2026, and I assumed many of those would be sold. So I averaged it to 75,000, and I made a wild assumption that Tesla would actually start selling those. And let's assume $100,000 each.
But he said that it would cost $30,000.
Right, but this is the beginning of production, kind of like the original Roadster, really expensive to make a small production run.
Okay.
So if he sells it for $100,000 each, and if he sells them to us, that would be $7.5 billion in revenue from hardware. And I assumed that Tesla, just like with the cars, would also sell autonomous software to go with the robots. But here I assume that it is an annual subscription since Tesla has to continually develop new skills for the robots. So I priced that at $5,000 a year.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Elon said that Optimus would be a $30,000 robot. He didn't say anything about software.
Yes, but what incentive would Tesla have to develop new skills for Optimus if there was is no software subscription.
But I can drive a car with no autonomy. I can't use a robot with no autonomy.
You know what? We're going to go into that more on Investor Club bonus stories today. So, because that's going to take a while to explain. So I went with $5,000 a year. You can tell me in the comments why I'm wrong. So that's $375 million in software sales for a total profit in 2026. So that's next year, of $1.1 billion. 2027, Tesla produces 500,000 Optimus robots because Elon said 10x. And I was a bit more conservative. So as you can see, that's $32.5 billion in revenue.
It's good money.
At $60,000 each, because I thought the price would come down as they ramped up production, for a total cost to Tesla of $51,000. So their profit in 2027 is $7 billion. Then in 2028, Tesla 4x's production, not 10x like Elon said. I was more conservative.
Okay.
So total revenue of $100 billion and a profit of $23.5 billion. Then in 2029, Tesla builds 4 million robots. I just predicted 2x as opposed to Elon's 10x. Again, I'm being super conservative here. For revenue of $140 billion and a profit of $38
billion. Okay. So these are a lot of really big numbers. Mm-hmm. It's hard to compare this to anything. So let's compare it to something that we actually know, which is Tesla's vehicle sales.
Okay. Good idea. So here is Tesla's annual vehicle sales chart from 2017 on the left, that little line, to 2024 on the right. So in 2017, Tesla sold 101,000 cars, and then in 2018, 146,000 cars, then 301,000 cars, and so on. Revenue-wise, though, which is what you asked, here's what that looks like. So if we go back to 2017, $8.8 billion in revenue, $14.9 billion in 2018, $20.8 billion in 2019, $24.3 billion in 2020, $40.6 billion in 2021, $66.1 billion in 2022, $82.2 billion in 2023. We don't have final numbers for 2024 yet. We'll be covering that on In Depth later in January when we cover Tesla's Q4 2024 earnings call.
Hang on a second.
Okay.
The revenue numbers you were just talking about in your model for 2026, next year, just mm-hmm. the ones next year, mm-hmm. they look very similar to Tesla in 2017.
Yeah, and that makes sense, right? Because in 2017, Tesla had been around for a while, but they only really had one factory, the Fremont factory, that was producing cars. Tesla had just started building Giga Shanghai, and they had Giga Nevada, and you could even argue they had Giga Buffalo. But in terms of making cars, Tesla only had one factory. They just started making the Model 3 at the end of 2017. We had one of the first off the line.
So it was mainly the Model S and X at that point. Very expensive, very limited production products.
Right. Just like where Tesla will be with Optimus next year, if Elon is right. Very expensive, very limited run of Optimus robots that will be in very high demand, I might add.
But then, the following year, 2027, according to your model, and I realize it's just a prediction, but according to your model, Tesla's revenue jumps up to $32.5 billion.
It's good money.
It took Tesla Automotive about 4 years to do that.
Right. But that's because mass producing cars is a lot harder than a robot, which has 97% less materials. Think about a smartphone. They're super complicated, but there were 118 million of them sold just in the US last year, and over a billion smartphones were sold worldwide.
And then in 2028, just 3 years from now, your model predicts that Tesla could have revenue of $100 billion just from Optimus sales? Tesla Automotive and Energy hasn't even hit $100 billion in revenue yet.
Right. If Elon's right, and if my model is even remotely close, how this will affect Tesla's stock price is really interesting, and we'll discuss that on today's Investor Club bonus story. So be sure to join us on Patreon today. Link is in the show notes. You'll probably be glad you did it. See you there, patrons.
So now taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good. All 100% free.
What if I had three jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live. Must start and file in app by 2/18.
It snowed for about the first time this winter. I know. Right? Crazy that here in New England, we have had very little snow and some really warm weather, but we got some snow, and you'll see later in the show that we use that snow to our advantage with the Cybertruck. But I've really been wanting to test FSD 13.2 in the snow. So I went out in the Model Y a couple days ago in the snow, and you know what? It did great. Yes, I had to brush off the front cameras. Those side repeater cameras were already clear because they have these little ingenious designs, right, that have the little protective covers that keeps the snow off. The B-pillar cameras needed a quick brush, but they have heaters in them. So after I brushed the snow off, they were fine. And probably if I had warmed up the car a little bit longer, they would have taken care of themselves. The rear camera was also fine by itself because it's covered. Anyway, FSD 13 handled pretty much the same as it does in clear conditions. No interventions on my 5-mile journey to my destination. The roads were pretty clear on that leg, but coming back, the snow had started to accumulate some more. We got about 4 inches. You can see that on the roads here that had that typical look where the tires of the car had melted the snow. But FSD knew where to drive and didn't freak out. It did freak out one time though. I was pulling out of a store parking lot and there was a bunch of slushy snow that slid over the front windshield camera. FSD gave me the take over immediately warning and I stopped, wiped it off with the windshield wipers, and 2 seconds later, FSD was happy again. No more interventions needed for the rest of the 5-mile journey home. Now, we also took the Model Y up to New Hampshire last week on an overnight trip to the White Mountains and FSD handled it amazingly. There was one misstep where it handled a 1-lane covered bridge perfectly, but then exiting the bridge, it put us in the wrong lane going against traffic. That was easily fixed because I was supposed to be driving the vehicle and I did, so put it in the right lane. It handled really well in sub-freezing temperatures that were up there. It handled super gusty winds on the highway. I'm talking like 60 mile an hour gusts that we could see were blowing cars and trucks around. I guess the one bad thing I'll say here is that I think Tesla seems to be putting wimpy windshield wiper fluid in their cars. So we just got the Model Y a couple months ago, and even though the windshield wiper fluid is blue, it freezes up in even close to freezing temperatures, probably because the car is made in Texas, is my guess. So we need some sub-zero temperature windshield wiper fluid here in New England. But other than that, it's been amazing in the snow, which is a question we get a lot from people. Well, how will it do in the snow? And so far, it's been doing great. All right, it's time for Cybertruck Roundup.
Yeehaw!
The Cybertruck Roundup. How about a solar paneled Cybertruck? Anyone? Anyone?
Anyone? Anyone?
So this Cybertruck is wrapped with ultra-lightweight Explore Flex solar panels made by Sunflare. We are reaching out to the company to get our hands on these for our solar mobile studio trailer, because that would be really cool to cover it in.
Is it really wrapped in solar panels, or is it just a wrap?
I don't know.
Because why would you print over the solar panels? Isn't that going to destroy the efficiency? Is this just a
marketing ploy?
I mean, it's very cool, but I want them on the truck.
Mm. Tesla has provided a fleet of Cybertrucks to the Altadena Mountain Fire and Rescue teams to be used to power radios, computers, lights, and rescue equipment during the LA fires and power outages.
Because remember, Cybertruck is a huge battery on wheels. Altadena Rescue says this will greatly help the team to power radios, computers, and lights as we work into the dark.
And Elon said, adding a lot more to this effort tonight and tomorrow. And then he went on to say, apologies to those expecting Cybertruck deliveries in California over the next few days. We need to use those trucks as mobile base stations to provide power to Starlink internet terminals in areas of LA without connectivity. A new truck will be delivered end of week. And then he said, we are going to position Cybertrucks with Starlinks and free Wi-Fi in a grid pattern in the areas that most need it in the greater LA Malibu area. Farboud says, how can I donate my Cybertruck to the effort?
And Elon said, ride around in your truck in the devastated areas with a Starlink terminal on the roof and open Wi-Fi.
Elon went on to say, yes, please be careful in some areas as there is a non-zero risk of armed looters. Cybertruck side panels are bulletproof to subsonic projectiles, handguns, shotgun, and Tommy gun, but the glass is not, so make sure to duck if you see anyone wielding a gun. This is not fiction. Also, adding security personnel in vehicles and snacks and beverages for passersby. Then this is video from Nick Sortor. He said, now, massive convoy of Tesla Cybertrucks rolling down Pacific Coast Highway as Elon meets with LA firefighters. From speaking with these first responders, it's clear morale is much higher now that they're being reconnected with Starlink. Practically all cell networks are still out all around the Pacific Palisades area.
Elon said cellular networks and electric power are currently down in most of Malibu and the Palisades.
Zach said, my friend who is working at the Palisades Command Center for the fire just texted me this. Elon was at base camp earlier today, handing out Starlinks and meeting everyone, as well as powering everything with Cybertruck. Tesla and Elon are helping a ton during the LA fires.
Wow.
Yeah. Seeing a dozen Cybertrucks coming down the highway there to help must feel really good. And I just want to say, a lot of people don't get these stories in the legacy media, so they think Elon's just a billionaire who loves to just, you know, play with toys or whatever. No, he's out there,
right there,
helping people. He had a Spaces with the LA Fire Command to let people know what's really going on. He's trying to help in any way that he can.
So going from a burning hellscape to a frozen hellscape, we finally got enough snow here in New England to plow. So we've been testing the Rivian R1T and the Ford F-150 Lightning, and now Cybertruck.
Now, as you can see, it wasn't a ton of snow, maybe 3 or 4 inches, but it seems like you were having a way easier time maneuvering the truck than we had with the Lightning, especially. Tell us your thoughts, because you were driving and I was filming.
First and foremost, rear wheel steering is amazing. We are using a hitch mounted plow. I know. It's not a real plow, but we're homeowners. I don't run a plowing company. I'm not plowing out anybody else's driveway but ours, so I could take as long as I want.
It really is a cheap solution if you're a homeowner. It's like a $1,000 solution that you can take off your car.
Right.
So you could do it in a Model Y.
You could. And I think we should probably try it if we can. But the Cybertruck is really nice because of the rear wheel steering. Just like I can park the Cybertruck a lot easier than I can the Lightning, I'm able to plow with it a lot easier, especially in reverse. And the biggest thing to me is I can get closer to edges of things. Mm. That is the hardest thing while plowing, at least when you're going in reverse, which again is not the best idea. But normally in the Lightning, you would, you know, kind of back up right against the line of something, and then you'd basically be stuck. You couldn't turn away because that would be turning the front of the car into the thing you're trying to not hit. Mm. With the Cybertruck, you can just start to kick it out, and that really, really helps. The other thing is the Cybertruck has such a tighter turning radius, and that means that you could just kind of plow around stuff all the way.
Yeah, I mean, you did way less passes than you had to do before in especially the Ford, and then you were out of there. You were done.
Yeah. In terms of visibility, the rear cameras were pretty good. I could have done a better job at wiping off the actual rear camera. The visualization that it gave me in terms of where I would be steering lined up really well with the plow itself. Again, every plow is going to be different and probably going to want one that's going to go on the front, but the one that we had, it was really nice because I could really get close and see. Plus, we had the visualization, the top-down visualization, and it kept seeing the plow, so it kept beeping at me. That was one, you know. But I got to see a representation of where the plow was in physical space,
nice.
Which meant that I could use it that to see where I shouldn't hit.
Mm.
Really neat. So a lot of really cool stuff. And also, we didn't get enough snow, but the power is unbelievable.
I know.
So I could do a whole pass the entire driveway. Again, it was only 4 inches. If I could have, you know, prayed to the snow gods, maybe we would have had more. But
we'll probably have more.
Well done!
Anyway, you can watch past videos that we've made where we discuss the plow that we're using and how we made a front mount for the Ford Lightning. So go check those out. And if you have more questions about plowing and Cybertrucks, I bet you'll find it at the Cybertruck Owners Club. They help sponsor the show. Thank you, guys. And there's so much great information there for Cybertruck owners and wannabe owners. All right, so as we were mentioning with the Cybertruck, it's also Tesla and SpaceX that's helping out with the LA fires. Tesla posted a summary of efforts that they've done to support employees and communities impacted by the LA fires, including impact employees. So basically, they're helping out any employee who had their home lost or destroyed by the fire. They're covering their home accommodations and supporting employees with transportation and meals.
In terms of superchargers, they say that all their supercharger sites are back online, except for Pasadena Supercharger, which was in the middle of the fire.
Then they're deploying these mega pack chargers. So 2 units deployed on Friday to relieve congestion in Thousand Oaks for evacuation and families losing power due to public safety power shutoffs. One was deployed on Saturday in Altadena at the sheriff's station, and another 2 were deployed, allowing more utility than just charging up EVs. And then 2 more in San Bernardino.
And the really cool thing about these mega pack chargers is that they are giant batteries on what is essentially a semi-truck trailer that they can bring anywhere. And as we saw there, charge both EVs if that's what's needed, or they can basically power a building with a mobile battery pack, which is insane that that's something that Tesla is able to do.
Then they have these mobile Powerwall units, so smaller batteries that would power your home, but those are also made mobile, and they've deployed these in Altadena and Topeka Canyon with Starlink and power so they can power your devices and your fridges and stuff like that.
Tesla has also deployed Cybertrucks, like we mentioned before. They have 3 Cybertrucks that are now at the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department in Altadena. They have 2 in Pasadena and 3 in Zuma Beach in Malibu.
So according to Compare the Market, Tesla was the most searched car brand last year in the following countries: US, Canada, South Korea, France, Portugal, Italy, Germany, Russia, Norway, Sweden, Finland, Tunisia, Egypt, Nigeria, Cameroon, Namibia, Uruguay, Cambodia, Ukraine, and Belarus.
Toyota is still the most searched car brand worldwide, but Tesla is closing the gap at number 2. Now, how do they measure that? Is that the number of searches or is that the number of countries?
Well, here's a graph showing the change in the most searched car brand starting in 2018 up through last year. So as you can see, Tesla in light brown, who picks these colors, has the most gain, and for the last 2 years has come up in second place.
And it is number of countries.
Yes.
That's a little misleading because, no offense, Cameroon, there are more people in like the United States and what was it, most of Europe? But hang on, Tesla wasn't even on the list in 2018 or 2019 or 2020?
Right. It wasn't until Tesla got on the list of most car brand searches with just 5 countries back in 2021. Now, in 34 countries, Tesla is the most searched car brand. Today, you can buy a Tesla, by the way, in 50 countries worldwide. So you remember that judge, the Delaware Chancellor Kathleen McCormick, right?
Oh, right. The judge that revoked Elon's pay compensation plan, even though us shareholders voted for it twice now.
Yeah, but you know what? It kind of got lost in all that fuss about Elon's compensation. There was another lawsuit filed by the Detroit Police and Fire Retirement System on behalf of Tesla shareholders, claiming that board members of Tesla were overcompensated. And of course, it went before our favorite judge here, and she just approved the settlement on January 8th. So Tesla board members like Chair Robin Denholm, Ira Ehrenpreis, James Murdoch, Brad Buss, and Antonio Gracias, they have been forced to settle because of that lawsuit. And guess what? Those board members have been forced to return their compensation from 2017 through 2020 and stock options that they got from 2021 through 2023 back to Tesla.
What?
Yeah. The settlement is for $919 million to be returned to Tesla in this way.
So can Tesla board members get that pay back?
According to the settlement, it seems that, well, not really. Basically, they can get future compensation, but their past compensation, they have to forego as part of the settlement. So going back to Elon's pay package, though, which was denied by Judge McCormick, Tesla filed an official appeal on January 8th, and that decision will now go to the Delaware Supreme Court.
How long do state Supreme cases take?
My guess, and it's only an educated guess, is that the case would take about 18 months to be heard and ruled upon. So we're probably looking at summer of 2026 for a ruling. And my guess, and it's just a guess, is that the Delaware Supreme Court will overrule the lower court decision because it was kind of BS and reinstate Elon's compensation package. But we'll have to wait and see if that happens.
Because if they don't, maybe we just have Maryland kind of absorb Delaware. We don't really need Delaware's government anymore. I think that it will cease to exist because basically every company is going to move out as soon as they realize that, hey, I'm the CEO of this company and Delaware can basically take all my money away from me.
That's a good point. I mean, Maryland, you would get more shoreline if you did that.
It's true. I also just want to ask, why doesn't Tesla just become a nonprofit at this point? If no one's allowed to get paid, why are we even nonprofits make like the people who run nonprofits make more money than Elon Musk and the board members of Tesla? I don't understand. I mean, how does this judge stay a judge? How much longer is this going to go on for, especially since Tesla isn't even incorporated in Delaware anymore?
It's a really good question.
This is insane.
So even within the Tesla community, I think a lot of people still don't know about Tesla's biodefense mode.
Biodefense mode uses a big HEPA filter to filter out just about everything but fresh air from the cabin of a Tesla.
A lot of people probably don't know about it because it's only available on Model S and X, and then starting in mid-2021, it was available on Model Y. So probably, I'm thinking, only about 30% of Tesla cars have it. But Joseph just posted on X, when biodefense mode actually comes in handy for the Palisades fire in LA, this Tesla is literally saving my life, never buying another car brand again.
And by the way, Cybertruck also has it.
Yeah, good point. And so Joseph says, for those wondering, my apartment is currently up in flames, using FSD to drive away from these fires. Yes, that's right. In hurry the up mode.
And Tesla says, glad to hear. Please stay safe.
And that's a really important thing, again, about these Cybertrucks arriving to help out, because they all have biodefense mode. And so if people need a place to catch their breath and to actually be able to breathe again, that's what it's for. You know, you might pull behind a really diesel smelly truck. That's great. Or be, around forest fires. Places like that, like, it's a necessity.
Well, and that's the funny thing is, when Tesla first came out with bio weapon defense mode, it was in the Model X and everyone was going like, what do you need that for? It's so stupid. And now we've seen time after time, sadly, most of the time it's about California wildfires, that people are going to go into their car as opposed to even their home in many cases in order to be able to breathe.
Yeah. Michael shared these photos of the new Vegas Loop Westgate Boring Tunnel station. It's not open yet. The boring company is waiting for a temporary certificate of occupancy from the Vegas building inspector, so it wasn't open for CES.
There are currently 150 Tesla cars in the Vegas Loop system, and even on heavy usage days like CES, there are reportedly only 1 to 2 minute wait times.
So the Encore and Wynn hotel stops, they should be open by this spring. They will be running 24/7, by the way, so not just during conventions. And then it seems that the Boring Company is going to be making a push to connect with the international airport, so that would be really cool if you get off your flight and can go right into the Strip.
And are they still being piloted by human drivers?
Yes, they still physically have to have human drivers.
But they're safety drivers, right? The cars are still being autonomously driven?
They're autonomous,
yes. Okay, interesting. So maybe someday soon, fully autonomous cars.
Yeah. All right, it's time for some SpaceX news, and Elon reposted this from Starlink. Starlink's high-speed, low-latency internet will soon be available on Air Baltic.
And so that's them installing it right there on the top of an airplane.
Yes.
So you get Wi-Fi in the sky.
Elon posted Starlink in Samoa. So residents in Samoa can now access Starlink through official resellers like Digicel and Vodafone, or retailers like CSL and Bluebird Lumber. And I just want to mention, don't use resellers who aren't official, because I think there's some fake ones. Telstra posted, we're excited to announce a new collaboration with SpaceX's Starlink to bring satellite to mobile text messaging to our customers in Australia. This is going to enable us to provide better coverage from coast to coast, especially for those in rural and remote areas.
And in terms of countries with super duper remote areas, Australia is up there.
Elon posted, SpaceX will provide free Starlink terminals to affected areas in LA tomorrow morning.
Only reason that you're able to see us right now is because of a Starlink connection that we just got today. That's the only reason we're able to hear and communicate with you guys right now, because there's absolutely no cell service at all in this whole area.
And this reporter is able to do her reporting, she said, only because of Starlink.
And they're in LA.
Yep.
And the only connectivity that they have is through a satellite network.
Yep.
And this shows you why it is so important to have a Starlink system, because you might be like, well, it's LA. Of course I'm going to get cell service. Not in a major disaster.
Exactly.
And so, I mean, wow.
Elon posted, there'll probably be another 10 meters added to the Starship stack before we increase the diameter. So if you haven't been paying attention closely like I haven't, if you look at the last three Starships here, they're actually growing.
They're getting taller.
Yeah.
That's funny to think about.
So SpaceX is reportedly adding their fourth autonomous drone ship to the fleet so they can recover the ever-increasing number of relanding Falcon 9 rockets. Their current fleet of Just Read the Instructions, A Short Fall of Gravitas, and Of Course I Still Love You. Their names come from the Ian M. Banks Culture series of books, one of Elon's favorites. So knowing that, what would the fourth name likely be?
I'll ask Grok.
Okay.
The Ends of Intervention, Frank Exchange of Views, Nervous Energy, and Sleeper Service.
They're all pretty good. What do you guys think? What's the next ship going to be named? Comment down below.
So this is the name of spaceships in a sci-fi series, which are now being named after ships that catch spaceships in real life.
Exactly.
Which sounds more sci-fi than the spaceships that crazy.
SpaceX posted this. Listen carefully. Falcon 9 completes the first 25th launch and landing of a booster and delivers 21 Starlink satellites to the constellation from Florida. Did you catch that?
The first 25th? What? The first 25th?
Elon says first booster has reached 25 flights. So what he's talking about is that this booster you're seeing here has been to space 25 times.
And normally...
it's once.
Normally, boosters on rockets, typically, if they're not from SpaceX, they get used once and then they burn up on the way down and you never get to use them again.
All right, it's time for Into the Future, sponsored by our friends at Henson Shaving.
If you want to get the best razor in the world, you can buy it over at hensonshaving.com. And if you use our code Now You Know when you check out, you will get 100 blades for free. The blades are double-sided, which means that you could be shaving with a brand new razor every day for 200 days in a row.
I like it.
Or if you do it every 2 days, that's more than a year.
Escape into the future.
So a Chinese company called Engine AI has just released a video of their 170 centimeter high humanoid robot called the SE-01 that they have been working on.
Wait, that looks like CGI.
And I thought so too, but many, including Jim Fan from NVIDIA, have confirmed that it's real footage. He said, I've verified from reliable sources, new visual Turing test, this is a real robot demo. The controller is a neural net trained by Isaac Simulator, that's a NVIDIA product, using reinforcement learning and then Sim2Real. Reward engineering is all you need. Walking gates got swag, but we need these robots. So in fact, we have another angle in this video, so you can see that.
I mean, it does give me some strong RoboCop vibes, doesn't it?
Thank you for your cooperation. Good night.
And it's a bit clumpy.
Yeah, it's a clumpy gate. The Engine AI says, by the way, that it's priced at $11,000 US.
Wow. So I guess Tesla's Optimus better watch out in terms of price, huh?
Well, this might not be as advanced as you think.
Ooh.
I buy buy that for a dollar.
Don't take it out for a show and tell until it's ready, huh?
Yeah, so I've been seeing this with a lot of these Chinese robots. They look good in controlled environments, but out in the real world, they seem to have, how should we say, performance issues. It's easy to impress on social media with limited specs and a low price, but it doesn't appear at the moment to be a very useful robot.
So what do we know about it?
We know that the smaller cousin of this, the PM01, is made of an aluminum alloy exoskeleton. It has a 5 degree of freedom arm. So your arm has 6 degrees of freedom.
3 degrees of translation, so kind of sideways, up and down and backwards, and then 3 degrees of rotation about orthogonal axes.
Right, XYZ, so roll pitch, yaw. So very useful. Theirs has 5. PM01 has 320 degrees of waist-free rotation. So let's see what your waist can do.
Hey, pretty good.
Yeah, right? You're slipping there. So a human can only do 60 to 80 degrees of waist rotation. This can do 320, so that, better than a human.
That would look like, wait, no, that's only 180. Oh, wow, that's creepy. It'd be able to basically turn almost all the way around.
Right. Engine AI claims that their robot has the world's first natural gait walking. But like we mentioned, I feel like that's subjective. It only has a 10,000 milliamp hour battery, which if you know much about batteries, is pretty small. And that's because it doesn't do much. Walking speed is 2 meters per second, which is not bad. It uses the Intel N97 and the NVIDIA Jetson Orin chipsets. And like in a sci-fi horror movie, it can do this.
Why can't it just get up normally like a person, like roll onto your side and onto your front
and then go, help!
And then do, or just do a push-up or something. Ugh.
Now, what they really don't want to talk about, though, are the hands.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't seem to have any hands.
Right. It's not a useful robot. I just want to point out, Optimus has a 22 degree of freedom hand. You have a 27 degree of freedom hand, and I think pretty soon Optimus will hopefully get those extra degrees. This thing has like, basically, go to your kitchen right now, put on some like oven mitts, and that's basically what it can do. So yeah, you probably can pick up a box, but that's pretty much it. It's not going to be able to do complicated tasks.
It's interesting because we as humans like to see big, big thing do look like big human guy. Right. Great. Big human guy do human thing. Good. No.
This is the most amazing part about being human, practically, is the opposable thumb and these 5 fingers. Like, so until you have that, you really don't have a useful robot.
I'm a human.
All right, it's time for Going Green. So Mercedes-Benz EV drivers will have access to the U.S. Tesla supercharger network next month in February. Canadian Mercedes EV drivers will gain access to the supercharger network in March. Now, of course, those drivers will need a NACS adapter, which they can purchase at their Mercedes-Benz dealers for $185 in Q1.
It already is Q1.
Well, from what I'm hearing from most dealers, they don't have them yet. So keep trying.
Also, why is Mercedes-Benz charging $185 when Ford and Rivian sent them to their EV owners for free?
Are you saying that G-Wagon owners can't afford it?
Now, when is Mercedes-Benz going to include the NACS charging outlet on their EVs just, you know, native?
I kept checking that, and Mercedes-Benz says in the coming years.
In the coming years?
Well, remember we talked about this. It takes 3 or 4 years for most car manufacturers to even design a new car model. So when Mercedes-Benz told us back in 2023 that they would adopt the NACS charge plug on their cars, that means it still would take them 3 or 4 years from then. So my guess is the earliest you'll see it is 2027.
But then why don't they say that?
Well, they said that in coming years.
In the coming years, it sounds like from a book.
In the coming years, he grew to love Martha and they lived happily.
What? In the coming years?
Well, because if they said 2027, first of all, they might be wrong. And then also people would be like, 2027? If they say in the coming years, you just kind of go, oh, good, it's coming.
Why? How does it take this? It's a hole in the car.
I know.
With wires in it. It's a plug.
Yeah, I know. Man. Hey, I wanted to talk about Climatize. They help sponsor the show. We've talked about them before, but the cool thing is we just signed up ourselves for one of their latest offerings. We're getting 6.5% from a company that is offering heat pumps to people. So we're helping the planet. We're helping people. And we're making a lot of money. It's really cool. The way it works is you go to the Climatize website, you set up an account, and if you choose to invest, you can do so with as little as $10. There's no investor fees, and this is open to all U.S. bank account holders over the age of 18. You don't even need to be accredited or anything special. And what I love about it is it's kind of multi-generational. You can do this like with your kids, your grandkids, your nephews, your nieces. So what you can do is you can invest with them, and then when, you know, it's time for some of this money to come back into their account, they can decide whether they want to take it out and spend it or reinvest it and save it. It's a great way to teach that to kids.
Thanks to Climatize for sponsoring the show. Visit climatize.earth/NYK or download the app and use the code NYK023 for $25 free credit once you complete the onboarding process.
$25 of free money.
Pretty great.
All right, it's time for our video contributor stories. Remember, we need your stories. Send them to us at hello@nowyouknowchannel.com. What do we got this week, Jess?
So Emmanuel found this in Germany.
Hey, Zach and Jesse. I'm currently at a 20-stall supercharger in Lindau, Bodensee, in Bavaria, Germany. The supercharger is great. There's a lounge there made by BK World. And the reason I'm making this video is because this car has been staying here since December 23rd, at least. That's when I was at this supercharger the first time and I charged my Model 3. And this, I don't know, soon-to-be poor Model 3 owner, a Model Y owner, has left his car here. If it's not somebody from Tesla who doesn't give a damn, maybe, about supercharger fees. How we say in German, heftig. It's gonna be terrible. Okay, bye. Thank you for everything you do.
To the owner of a blue Model Y, your car is at a supercharger stall. Please come to the front desk.
So let me get this straight. Emmanuel's worried that because it's been there for like a week or more, that it has just like exorbitant fees charged to it?
That's his worry. Emmanuel, I don't think you need to be too worried, and it's twofold. First of all, the car will only get fees when the supercharger location is more than half full.
Oh, and there's like 20 stalls there.
That's a pretty big supercharger stall. Now, this was over Christmas, so there may have been some times where it was full. And you are charged by the minute, and it's usually pretty hefty per minute prices.
Yeah.
Now, the reason that we haven't covered on this show people who have been entirely bankrupted from this practice is because Tesla doesn't really super heavily enforce it when it gets to be kind of crazy. They generally have a lot of forgiveness. They're only going to target repeat offenders, people who basically use this as like a free parking lot or something like that. In this case, we don't know what's going on with the Model Y owner. It could have been ignorance. It could have been that they had a medical emergency. Hopefully everything's okay. And they just didn't realize that you're not supposed to park there. But Tesla generally gives quite a bit of forgiveness. They may charge up to like $100, but they're not gonna make this person poor.
Maybe the guy works there at that hotel and he just looks out the window every day, make sure it's not full, and then he just leaves it there. I don't know.
We don't know.
Why doesn't he need his car though?
I know. But I would say that Tesla has done a really good job at managing and kind of balancing this in keeping those supercharger stalls flowing, and people have usually not parked their cars there.
All right, it's time for our Patreon bonus stories, and we need you to go over to Patreon and support us and get to watch the Patreon bonus stories that you get every week when you're a member. So we'll see you there. All right, it's time for Elon's X's of the week. Get ready to get mad if you like getting mad at Elon. All right, so remember the used to be a prime minister of Canada. His name was Justin Trudeau. Well, Elon said this about him back in December. He said he's such an insufferable tool, won't be in power for much longer.
And then on January 6th, he says, as I was saying.
Elon said this is how great civilizations throughout history have ended. People assume it was due to conquest, but it was actually often simply too much prosperity leading to low birth rate and population collapse, which ultimately enabled them to be conquered. And that's the graph of
the United States and UK.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay. Elon said more and more people around the world are choosing the red pill and leaving the matrix of lies. Of course, he's talking about legacy media. And then Mark Zuckerberg says that moderators are too politically biased, and he pledges a system similar to X, and he's actually calling it community notes.
And he put Dana White on his board.
Yeah. Board of Meta.
And Elon said, this is cool.
Probably wouldn't have happened if
a lot of things had happened.
Elon says if the people of Greenland want to be part of America, which I hope they do, they would be most welcome. Went on to say if the people of Greenland want their territory to join America, we should accept them. And then guess what happened a few days later? Greenland's leader, Mute Egede, said that he is prepared to negotiate with Trump about the future of the Arctic territory.
And Elon said yes.
So, I mean, can we trade Delaware for Greenland?
Fair trade. What do you think, Denmark? Starts with a D.
Elon said, first, the EU tried to stop me from having an online conversation with President Trump. Now they want to prevent people from hearing a conversation with Alice Weidel, who might be the next chancellor of Germany. These guys really hate democracy. And by the way, you can go listen to an over 1 hour conversation that he had with Alice pretty cool stuff. She doesn't sound far right to me, but you tell me what you think. Then a Muse posted, betrayal and a stunning betrayal of British families. PM Keir Starmer is ordering Labour MPs to block a national inquiry into the rape gangs plaguing the United Kingdom.
And Elon said, now why would Keir Stormtrooper order his own party to block such an inquiry? Because he's hiding terrible things, that's why.
Elon then talked about his British grandmother, Cora Amelia Robinson, who was an important part of my childhood. She was very strict, but also kind, and I could always count on her. She grew up very poor in England during the Great Depression, only to be bombed in World War II. To earn money for food, she cleaned houses, leaving me with a lasting respect for those who do so. My Nana was one of the poor working-class girls with no one to protect her who might have been abducted in present-day Britain. Nana had a spine of steel. My cousins just reminded me that she was once at a bank during a robbery and refused to give them her handbag, despite them pointing a gun at her head. They just left in the end. Wow, that's pretty hardcore.
Wonder where he gets it from.
Rupert Lowe, MP, says it seems that Starmer is ordering his MPs to vote against a full national inquiry into the Pakistani rape gangs today. They should ignore him and do the right thing.
Elon said for all those poor little girls who were so terribly abused, many of whom died, they should do the right thing.
Elon then posted that Biden just gave George Soros the Presidential Medal of Freedom. And Elon says, please call your member of parliament and tell them that the hundreds of thousands of little girls in Britain who were and still are being systematically, horrifically gang raped deserve some justice in this world.
Elon says UK politicians are selling your daughters for votes.
Vicegrad 24 says the Financial Times blames Vicegrad 24, Mario Nafal, and Still Gray for radicalizing Elon Musk.
Elon says, funny how just learning facts can make one a radical.
Elon then said, just posting a meme like this could get you sent to prison in Britain. Actually. And he went on to say that Evel Knievel's most dangerous stunt in 2025 would be going to Britain and posting memes. Then, speaking of the LA fires, Elon said, these fires are easily avoidable, but nonsense regulations in California prevent action being taken. So year after year, homes burn down and more people die.
He went on to say, Obama made sure that Rick Caruso, who is extremely competent, lost to utterly incompetent Mayor Karen, her real name.
Libs of TikTok says the LA Fire Department passed a racial equity plan to end systematic, institutional, and structural racism in LA. Part of it is a chart to map out the race of every employee to make sure they're racially diverse enough.
Elon said they prioritize DEI over saving lives and homes.
Elon then posted this. He said a friend in LA just took this video. Elon said something that people may find helpful for stopping fires is packing wet sand, dirt, aka mud, on vulnerable surfaces if you can. This is far more effective than just wetting a surface with water, which evaporates quickly. Charlie Kirk says, breaking, the far-left Labour Party, led by grooming gang enabler Keir Starmer, has just voted against opening up an inquiry into child rape gangs in the UK. The vote was 364 to 111. Unbelievable. Tragic.
Elon said, unbelievable.
Charlie Kirk then said, breaking, President Trump just called on Gavin Newsom to resign as governor of California.
And Elon agreed.
Elon said the forcing function for improvement in the public sector is weak.
Well, what about the post office vans?
It's the same van.
Well, yeah, but
the new ones?
Got the new ones.
Have you seen one in person yet?
No.
I haven't.
I haven't.
Vicegrad 24 said the man who long served as the EU's man censor, Thierry Breton, calls for X to be banned in Europe if Elon Musk doesn't start censoring things that the European elite dislikes, all in order to protect our democracy.
Elon said if he doesn't stop with this nonsense, I'm going to cancel his hairstylist expense account. Vicious, I know, but...
Elon says incompetence in the limit is indistinguishable from sabotage. Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, said a lot of misinformation out there, just launched a new site to ensure the public has access to fact-based data around the Southern California wildfires.
Doge Designer said community notes for the win, and Elon posted the clown emoji. And that is because community notes said this. The website that Governor Newsom linked is not a state website, but rather takes you to his political campaign website. The link to donate to Cal Fire Foundation takes you to Act Blue, a Democrat funding platform that takes 3.95% of all transactions.
Nice. Autism Capital says the LA water chief, who is paid $750,000 a year, yes, $750,000 a year, says what attracted me most to the role was probably the salary, was social equity. It's important for me that everything we do is with an equity lens and social justice and righting the wrongs that we've done in the past.
And Elon says DEI means people will DIE. And that's because there was no reservoir that would have been able to put out the fires.
Yeah.
And that's because the reservoir that was built specifically to help fight these sorts of wildfires was empty and
since March.
Discontinued since March.
Yeah, 117 million gallons of water that would have done a lot of good. Elon reposted this video.
It was actually amazing to me how much the legacy media walks in lockstep. You know, there's like nobody breaks ranks. And now we have X that breaks ranks and doesn't just go with the whatever the approved narrative is.
Elon said this guy was sentenced to 7 years in prison for social media posts. The other guy was sentenced to a mere 6 months for raping a 9-year-old child. British justice system is deeply broken. Mario Nafal says Paradise Lost, how California's eco-obsession turned L.A. into a tinderbox. And what we're talking about here is that California actually fined $2 million per infraction for disturbing milk vetch plants during construction of fire-resistant power lines in 2019.
Elon said the so-called endangered plant isn't even in danger of extinction.
Elon said Tesla and SpaceX personnel are driving around areas in greater L.A. Malibu that are in tough shape with free Wi-Fi, drinks, and snacks, and hearts out to firefighters of the world. And lastly, John Montgomery said the most talked about story in Britain right now is the arrest of Ivor Kaplan, a former labor minister who has been attacking Elon over grooming gangs for allegedly trying to groom a 15-year-old boy. It's nowhere to be seen on the BBC News front page. Instead, you get these. And now it's time for community mail time.
Community mail time.
Lewis spotted this Cybertruck in Sarasota, Florida.
Ooh, white on white looks really good. Miranda spotted this Model X in Fort Lauderdale.
Mason shared us this picture of a Cybertruck and a DeLorean next to each other.
Wow, how fun. The only two mass-produced stainless steel vehicles in the world.
And actually, that's his DeLorean.
Oh, I wonder if he wishes he owned a Cybertruck instead.
He does.
Oh, okay. Seth spotted the Cybertruck owned by a local hotel.
Brian spotted this unbelievably bright yellow-wrapped Cybertruck with a SpaceX edition badge.
Nice. Mike and Rachel went up to Timberline Lodge on Mount Hood in Oregon for New Year's Eve, and as they were leaving, they spotted the Cybertruck, and then they saw this Model 3 snowed in the night before.
Ernie spotted this digital billboard in Switzerland all about EVs.
Now, is that at a charging station?
That is a billboard.
With a charger in it?
Nope. Just a billboard.
Oh, okay. We get this Model Y security car. That's cool.
And then we get this cool video all the way from Indonesia. And so, take a look at this.
Okay. Wait, are they renting Starlink?
Yeah, you can buy password for 65 cents. U.S. cents is the equivalent.
But where is this?
This is in a very remote area in Raja Ampat, which is in Irian Jaya, Indonesia.
Where's that?
That is here.
How do you get there?
It takes all day by boat to reach there. And so, yeah, they get Starlink internet there.
Wow.
Yeah.
It kind of blows my mind right now. I think the legacy media doesn't tell us about this stuff. So we just assume that, like, either there aren't people there or
right.
Whatever.
Well, when was the last time the legacy media was there?
Right.
And why would they cover this story? Because they won't. Max spotted this Rivian Amazon delivery van in Tucson, Arizona. And
nice.
Apparently the driver yelled at him.
Why?
It was cranky because it was cold out in Tucson. It was 75 degrees.
Ooh.
So the other day, one of our viewers wrote in to show that he was a solar punk.
I remember that.
And you're a solar punk.
I'm a solar punk too.
John wrote in to show that not everyone is just a solar punk. He is an exporter.
And what we're talking about here is the Tesla app that at the end of the year tells you how you did.
If you have solar panels.
Right. If you have solar panels. So solar punk and exporter, what's the difference?
Solar punk is the top 1% of producers.
Yeah.
And exporter is the top 5%.
Nice.
And also Nelson is in what I believe is the next category, a night owl. He is in the top 15% of overnight self-powered users.
Ooh.
And so these are slightly different
right.
things. Depends on what, you know, your strength is.
Right. Night owl would be overnight. I
right.
get it now. Okay. Now, I guess Airstream is going to have to start making stainless steel trailers instead of aluminum because, look, these do not match.
They're pretty close.
I don't know.
It's pretty good. Tesla spotter spotted these two Cybertrucks. Guess where that
yeah,
is.
Yeah, let me guess. Utah.
Jamaica.
I was a little off. Okay.
And lastly, Miranda spotted this at a Bobby Weir concert.
Bobby Weir. Why is that name? Oh, Grateful Dead?
Uh-huh.
Wait, that's so appropriate.
Right. You have the VW microbus down at the Grateful Dead concert.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, dude.
It's the modern version. Yes, it's really funny.
All right. It's time to go to our viewers and possibly us for Supercharger reviews.
Hey, Jesse and Zach. Eric here at the 8-stall version 3 Tesla Supercharger in Wharton, Texas. As you can see, I'm on the backside of a Bucky's. I've been waiting a long time to get my adapter in order to charge here. Perfect location in between Corpus Christi, Victoria, on the way on up to Houston.
For amenities, obviously it's got a Buc-ee's, so it's got everything you need 24/7. Across the street, there's actually a Walmart, another gas station, some shops. But yeah, so for anybody who needs to stop, it's right off the highway, which makes it an 8 out of 10 because it's got a Buc-ee's. But on the Jesse scale, it's probably closer to about a 6 because there's not much else besides that. So so grateful to Tesla for opening it up to Ford. And now you know.
Well, hi, Zach and Jesse. It's Brody Wolstenholme reporting to you here from the Welcome Break services in Gretna Green, Scotland. It's off the northbound carriageway, but there is access from the south. It isn't 4 stalls of supercharging anymore. There's 15. They are 250 kilowatts. And there are also a suite of other 8 ABB chargers here with RidServe. Lots of things in the services. Toilets are nice and clean. It's open 24 hours a day. So, now you know.
Hey, Zach and Jesse, take a look at these. This is Seabrook, New Hampshire, on Zealand Road. And it's a little confusing coming in because they're in the valet area for the casino, which made it a little confusing to get into to find them. But these, I have never seen these before. These maybe are B4s. So they charge really fast, and so thanks for your show. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, Zach and Jesse, Gloria here in Henrietta, Texas. We have a 12-stall supercharger station, 150 watts, which is okay, but not the best. There's plenty to eat over there. We've got a smoke, there's a Stuckey's with smoked meats, everything's smoked in Texas. We've got the bison over here, but check this out. We have dinosaurs. Can't go wrong. Teslas and dinosaurs. I rate this a 9 out of 10.
All right, I'm going to do this kind of fast because it's windy and cold. It's 11 degrees out here in Thornton, New Hampshire at an 8-stall supercharger, which is about 1.2 miles off the highway. So I wouldn't highly recommend this in the winter because if it was snowy on the ground, it would be not the easiest to get to. But if you need it, you need it. And the good thing is it's a version 3, so it's 250 kilowatts of charging, so you get plenty of charging speed. There's not much amenities around here. There is a golf course and stuff like that, so maybe you could go to the bathroom, but nothing really close to where we are other than these homes. So I would say if you need amenities, this is not the one to stop at. Now you know.
Ooh, you were a little harsh.
I was using your rating guide.
It's true.
I mean, no bathrooms that were... There was a deli, but it's only open at like 11, so if you get there... Odd hours, right. What you do. So, and it's way off the... Yeah, I don't have to tell you why. I give it a 3.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, and the reason you'd be harsh is because it leaves more room for the real true 10s, the ones that are just way above and beyond.
Exactly.
Because otherwise, we're just going to be making numbers.
Do you remember there was a supercharger that had a swimming pool? That deserves a 10.
That deserves a 10.
Exactly. You know? All right, what do we got for new superchargers? And did we make it to number 7,000?
Well, let's find out.
Okay.
Number 55 in Arizona is the 12-stall version 4 in Williams, Arizona.
We got the 3-stall version 3 in Guangzhou, China.
We have number 2,184 in China is the 6-stall in Xi'an, China.
We have number 33 in South Carolina, the 12-stall version 4 in McBee.
Now, this next one doesn't count as a new supercharger because it's an expansion from 6 to 12. It's version 3 and 4 is at Solz-Wöhringen, Germany.
We got the expansion from 32 to 40 stalls, version 3 and 4 in Hilden, Germany.
Also doesn't count. The 16 stall in Covina, California.
The 16 stall version 4 in Alpine, California.
Number 39 in Michigan is the 8 stall in Grand Rapids.
Number 524 in California is the 12 stall version 4 in San Jose.
Number 104 in New York is the 20 stall in Brooklyn.
Number 173 in the UK. Number 1376 in Europe. Number 6,999 in the world is the 4 stall version 4. It's the On the Move in Finnmere, UK. So we didn't quite make it, but I'm sure next week we will.
Oh, this is exciting. Could it be?
Yeah.
Comment down below. Hey, thank you for spending your valuable time with us today.
And our thoughts and hearts go out to the tens of thousands of displaced people in Los Angeles. So if you want to get the latest information about the fires, I found this on X. X has a Los Angeles fire page with the latest updates. It's really informative and useful to see what's going on.
Thank you so much for watching. Join us next week. Now you know.
Someone had a birthday.
Yep, 50. Can't believe it.
50 years of wisdom.
Great segue. We have health news, a CDC update.
pneumococcal vaccination is now recommended for adults 50 or older. Says here, we're over 6 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults under 50.
I don't love those odds.
Same. Look what I found. Pfizer's Prevnar 20 is proven to help protect adults against pneumococcal pneumonia and invasive pneumococcal disease in just one dose. And millions have already gotten it.
Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you have a severe allergy to its ingredients. A weakened immune system may lower your response. Common side effects include injection site pain and swelling, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138. Visit Prevnar20.com or talk to your doctor or pharmacist.
I'm on Prevnar20.com now, scheduling my appointment.
Good idea. And happy 50th.